everybody. Thank you for sticking around until the very, very end of the conference. I know it's been a long day. I appreciate you guys coming out. I'm Eric Anderson. I'm the founder of Premier Digital. Those who might have known what I was doing at Premier when it started, and wonder where I went for the last 5 years, this is what I've been doing. Is building out this system off of availability and analytics on where stuff is and where stuff isn't and what you can do to fix all of that. So Steve talked about in his presentation the kind of problems that are facing the industry at a broad level. I wanted to kind of informally walk you through the tool as it actually is, show you how it works, and how people are using it. And then for the end of the session, we have one of our clients, Billy Gillespie, VP of TV Distribution from NBC, is here to talk about his experiences as well using it. I'm gonna go fast, because this is only like half an hour, so if I'm going too fast, say,
slow down.
And here we go. So this is it, it's called Storefront. And it serves, as it is right now, two main use cases that it's addressing. The first page you log into when you get to it is the search module, but I want to start instead at the avail side. So what this is we can take in your avails. We can build around whatever avails management system you currently have, or we can just take EMA right out of the box. And the first thing that we do before we do anything, we bring in your avails, we parse your avails, and we break it up into what is successful, what has errors. The reason we do this is while most giant rights holders have an avail system, even within that system, there are errors. There are a tremendous amount of avails being tracked, a tremendous number of data points, and in order to even be able to take action on it, you have to parse out what isn't correct. What's good about that is the system immediately gives you feedback on what was brought in, there are this many errors, breaks the errors up into type, you download the report, the reason being to update your system of record so that whatever it is that you're feeding us with isn't feeding the same error over and over again, you can actually go back and fix it. And then once it is fixed, we're good. But once we brought that in, we got your avails, we brought them in, we've isolated the errors, we've alerted you to the errors, but ones that are good, we take through the system. And the first step with that then is exceptions reporting. And this really kind of gets to the immediate value of the system, which is, as Steve called out earlier today, across 10 retail platforms, over 10 million availability types across TV and film. So HD purchase, SD purchase, HD rent, SD rent. Now 4K HDR purchase, 4K HDR rent. The number of availabilities just keeps going up. It is not practical for people to track all of those availabilities across every territory in the world to make sure that they are right. And people historically have just been doing this on a one-off kind of basis around what they think is important content. We track all global availabilities across 17 different retailers every day. And we correlate all those availabilities against each other every day. So in the example Steve gave in his talk of like the fever pitch example, regardless of what it's called, regardless of what language it's in, regardless of what retail platform it's on, we have them all rolled up against a master title ID called Fever Pitch, and we can break that down across availability type, territory, and retail platform, no matter where it is. And we're refreshing it every day. And when I say refreshing it, we're refreshing all aspects of it. So all publicly available information. So synopsis, cast, crew, every production company, all of it. And then anything, if that system or retailer has a back-end product, anything that we can get from that as well, should be start date, end date, price tier, all of that information. And we track change state as well. So we've been tracking this data for our first retailer for about 5 years. Our last retailer that we started tracking, we brought in over 6 months ago, and we track change on every single data point since we brought somebody into the system. So what's kind of cool is you can show aging reports on price, you can show aging reports on availability, you can show aging reports on availability over territory, blah, 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 blah. But what we do right now, after we brought in your avails, is I think of it this way. There's the what you think is supposed to be in the world, and then there's the reality that we're tracking of what actually is. And majority of the time it matches up, but in our research across all major library holders, the error rate ranges between 15% and 30%. So it's pretty huge. And also that error rate is not isolated to just deep library that nobody's paying attention to. We're seeing that on, you know, $500 million grossing films from within the last 3 years in major territory, in phase. And so these are, you know, it's a pretty even curve across all of it. So these are meaningful errors. It's like if something is the first error type, avail not live, meaning your avail system says this is supposed to be here, consumer is supposed to be able to interact with it, and our system is saying they cannot, and that could have been going on for a long time. And you know, if say that's $10 a day in transaction over 3 years, it adds up, and that's just one isolated instance. So these are the five main error types that we break it into. So it's avail not live, we break it out by release year. System lets you drill down to specific release years within a column, changes in real time. Then live not available, which is in some cases almost a worst case scenario, a worst scenario. It is not supposed to be available, but it is. And so there's some legal agreement being broken or some exclusive agreement being broken. So that's an issue as well. And then price mismatch. It's your system says it is supposed to be available for X, it's actually available for Y. That is another lost revenue opportunity. Like it is supposed to be for sale for $15.99, it's been stuck at $4.99 for a very long time. That's, you know, it's what's nice is it's easy to calculate the impact of these kind of problems. And then incorrect rate, which, you know, falls into more of a compliance issue. And but the coolest thing, and changed avails then is also another thing that the system can do, which is in that avails upload that we take, currently we're integrated with three retailers, and I'm going to show this, where as you make change, if that avail document that you upload to us has changes in it, either removals, price changes, availability changes, blackout windows, everything, the system will do those in bulk. Right now we can present them to you for you to approve, or the system can just flow them through automatically and report on them as they finish. From a volume perspective, to give you a notion, I mean, we've processed 30 to 50,000 availability changes in a 3 to 4 day period. So it can do scale and does it on a frequent basis. What's really neat about this is, is right within the system, probably the most powerful aspect is, Willie, can I drill down?
Change, yeah.
All right, cool. no one's.
This is Fox's dad.
I mean, you know what's nice here? It's like, in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter because regardless of the studio, I can show examples that make people go, whoa, what the hell? And that's kind of the point, is to bring those out so that it's, now let's do something about it. And so if you keep going in, you'd be like, all right, now you get the detail level. But then the best part is, for scenarios where it is possible, there's a fix button. And so it's not just, oh, you're letting me know about a problem, but you can actually do something about it right in the tool. And so you can bulk correct errors as opposed to this just is another system that generates a report that then gets sent to another department who then maybe does something about it, maybe doesn't, but so you have to check that. And then if they did something or not about it, when the next exception report is running, you're seeing that the exception is still there, you're generating another report, you're sending it to them, did they do something about it? No, fix it. If you're gonna learn something is wrong, you need to be able to do something about it right when you learn that something was wrong. That's how you get the best value for it. That's also how you get the best efficiency for your operations at your provider. So that's really exceptions. And it starts that simple, just, what is live that shouldn't be, what's live that, what isn't live that should be, and what has some wrong information on it, pricing or ratings. And it's, we start there because we think that's where people can get the biggest bang for the buck, and that's where also there are a lot of problems across all of these marketplaces. Then the next part, and then also, you know, lastly, and probably not most importantly, is the ability to then correct those issues right within the system. Currently, the system can correct them for iTunes, Microsoft, and Google, but we can add more retailers very easily. Anybody who can accept EMA, we can do, and anybody who has a back-end system, we can integrate with. The other part of the system is, all right, I'm fixing my storefront, I'm fixing my availabilities, everything's great, and but now I have another partner. I have my sales marketing team, or I have a research team within the organization, I have a promotions team. What do I have? What do I have where? And that should be an easy question to answer. And again, for that top 10% of content, it generally is, for the top 10% of territories that are driving most of the transactions. But when you look across your entire library of availabilities, it's not so easy to answer. It's, what do I actually have? So search is what I actually have the most fun with. I think it's the most fun part of the tool to just kind of play around with, because you find stuff out all the time, just stumbling upon it. And it's the most powerful aspect. So this just right out of the gate breaks down my box office and release year, all of the titles that are available across the retail platforms that we track. Something to note is this box office number can easily be replaced with a revenue number if we're given POS data. So if somebody said, I want to see that against actual sales, not against box office, great. We're ready to incorporate that, and we can show you release year versus revenue to drive priority in searching through your library. But this is just unfiltered, and it gives you a sense of the number of titles that are out there. But what I'd like to show to kind of get a sense of the crush of the data is if you switch it to number of transaction modes, which really is, think of it as the number of avails. How many different places can a consumer hit a button that makes something happen? This is film and TV season, so it doesn't include episode, but it's, you know, it's almost 6 million instances that we're tracking. And that's a lot. That's impossible for any army of people to keep tabs on and to know what you've got, to know how it's priced, to know where it is, know what languages it's in, and to make adjustments on it.
So is that title media language?
It is, no, this is, yes, this is title media language. This basically represents number of unique purchase buttons or play buttons. So
media language territory.
Yeah, territory. That's the other one. So, but I'll flip back to title, and these are I'll illustrate the scenario Steve was kind of talking about. So let's say it's October, Halloween is coming up, and you have your promotions that you're running, through the retailers that are doing their Halloween promotions. But you want to leverage that into, all right, you want to draft off of it. Anything, you want all of your horror films in all of your territories so that everybody who actually clicks on something that's getting placement, when they see that users also bought, they're also falling on something that has a promotional price so you can hopefully pick up that second or third transaction. And you can say, all right, I'm going to look across. Can I keep picking anybody? So if I go, and we've got everybody in here, but I love that autocorrect. If you type in NBC, it puts ABC. That's an autocorrect. So I can say, all right, filter it to NBC. Let's filter it to iTunes, Google, Microsoft. And let's look at availability of it's live. We have not live in there because basically if anything has been on a store during the time that we've been tracking that store, even if it has come off the store, we're aware of it. And I mean, that's important because it might be not live, not on purpose. So you want to see that. You might want to run up a report of just show me everything that's not live for myself. And go, oh my God, that is not correct. But so show me everything that's live. Content type, let's do movies. This is good to highlight because it can be movie bundles, it can be short films, it can be TV seasons. We also go down to the episode level. We're not showing that yet because we have about 30% of episodes still to correlate. Offer type, let's do EST, and we'll see where we're at so far. Cool. So here's everything that's meeting those criteria, and you're like, oh, that's interesting, but I want to refine a little bit more. So I've hit 2 of 2 there, I've hit 3 of 3 here. Let's go price point. Everything that's over 12 bucks, less than 22 bucks. Let's do Spain. Regions, you can put in custom regions. So if your different teams around the world are only focused on a collection of territories, a collection of countries, they can customize for this for themselves. Something to note also is as you build filters specific to your role, you can save that filter, you can set that filter as your default view so that you don't have to redo this every single time. You can have the system focus just on what's important to you. So if you're strictly, you know, LATAM, or if you're strictly subscription video, you can tailor it to your needs. We also track, has been updated, it's not been updated. So that's important for show me everything that hasn't been updated within a time period. So show me everything that I haven't run a price adjustment on in 2 years. Show me my content that's getting stale on the store. And all right, so let's just fade. And then last one, if we wanted to say, all right, let's show horror. And here we are. And you're like, oh, cool. I've got 64 titles across these places that are over a price point that I want them to be at, that I want to run a promotion on. All right, neat. Well, let's choose them. They cross these retailers. And if I went in and said, all right, let's start with iTunes. There they all are. I can break down the individual transactions that they're available for. And my favorite part, I can select them, I can send the updates.
We don't have to do that part.
Where I can then run the press change. And that's kind of it. Out of the box, it's see what you have, see if it's correct, find what you're interested in, affect change on it, add availabilities, adjust pricing, do it in bulk, and there you go. Where am I at? Time wise. Oh, cool. Yeah. So I mean, it works. It's real. It finds problems. It fixes them, and that translates into, wait, why are we suddenly our statement this month is higher than last month? Oh. We turned on 1,600 availabilities that weren't previously there. And how long did it take? Oh, about 30 seconds. Yeah, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, and it sounds like there's no way it's like that. No, it's like that. It's like that. That's how bad the problem is. That's how easy it is to fix it. And yeah. We also, just on the roadmap, and for clients that we've already got signed up, it's we track charting, we track placement, we track that change state, track it worldwide across all the major retailers, the 17 that we track. We track price comparison. I mean, basically, since the data set is totally comprehensive and covers every data point that you can pull from a retailer, there is no comparative or projecting report that we can't generate and run on what you might be interested in with your content. Whether it's a, hey, show me how many times the synopsis has changed, or, you know, cast and crew, or show me, you can search specific to a title, you can search specific to an actor, you can search specific to a director, show me everything Steven Spielberg did. There are no limitations on it. And so you can really build some fun searches that let you put together cool offerings for people who want to watch movies. It's really where all this came from, is I like watching movies. Questions. And I mean, I wanted to give Steve and Willie a chance to talk about sort of their experiences, but also, what do you guys think? What do you want to know?
I like to fix it up.
Ah, see? Yeah. Exactly. It's the most important part, because it's not just a, hey, something's wrong, but it's a, you want to do something about it? And
every morning when I go in, when I get into work, I go into the storefront, go to the exceptions, filter it to open to see what's occurred. So actually, if you looked at our exceptions right now, it doesn't just find out issues that you have with your own avails. What it does is it uncovers things like quirky things that happened with ITC. In the last year, pre-premiere and post-premiere, we once had 150 titles in Austria. They just took them down. There was no, so this thing highlights immediately, like, hey, you're here's your avail, here's how your avail matches what's to that store. And so we get a basically a daily look at our reconciliation of, you know, we're 600,000 lines that we send you on a, we send them a 600,000 avail every week. And we get a comparison almost real time to that of what iTunes is reflecting compared to what we're reflecting. So we catch those errors, we catch those changes, we catch those, you know, new additions to it. But also it quickly identifies quirks that have happened with ITC, which have, that's always fallen into, like, you get a phone call like, hey, this title's not there, I don't see it. That's gone away. Now it's basically we're in front of the game every morning. So it's made that much easier.
Those moments where you walk into the meeting and someone goes, why is there no VOD up in Australia? And you're like, what?
Because they happen to be combing through the store.
Yeah.
Like that's the worst thing, is when people find it accidentally.
When they go on vacation.
Yes.
How did you manage to do this before? I was talking to the back of the board school here.
Stand next to her.
Yeah. How did you manage to do this before?
So we were managing ITC manually. It was resources. We had a group of people. At one point, we were up to three people completely that were managing ITC. We were doing XML uploads, and it was a volume statement. So we wanted two things from here. We wanted to reduce the effort that we're putting into managing ITC, and we wanted to be more accurate. So it took us away from taking our sales and avail system, which is managing 3,000 distribution clients, and we weren't going to sit there and say, let's customize it just for this one client. So we were doing everything offline. We were dumping, conforming to an XML, loading, and then, you know, crossing our fingers that it was accurate, and going from there. And it was a resource drain, and it was time consuming, and we couldn't react like this. And additionally, we weren't accurate. And those were two things sitting in my seat. I'm on the operational side, so I manage all the licenses for all our digital clients. It just was killing us from that aspect. We put them into more, instead of just being, you know, data entry, which they weren't hired for, which they had to take on that role, they're doing more money bettering, or lack of the word. You know, they're doing things that are helping us versus just basically just taking data, putting it in this format, shipping it off. Now they're doing stuff that's actually helping account management and sales team. So that was our big goal. And then account management's need were the obvious ones that Eric was just showing you. Like, we want to go do all our horror movies. For those who've ever used ITC, it's cumbersome and it's notorious. This made it much quicker. And it was actually our first entry into Premiere.
And then, you know, from our perspective, we see all kinds of, I talked about this morning, there are all kinds of potential use cases. What are the kinds of use cases you guys see that you want to get your hands around?
Well, we started with iTunes, because that was our first immediate need. But it's like we have this ability now, because EMAs are standardizing the industry, we're starting to advance with Google, bringing in all the other digital platform customers that we have, bringing our avails to this application for the ability then to just manage one title once in a territory, and it will flow through to all the other providers in that market. So that's an easy opportunity. Also, before Premiere, we'd have to email Google, say, hey, can we get a live report? They'd have to send it back, and it was a manual reconciliation to determine, all right, all our titles are live. With this tool, it allows us to say, hey, you guys don't have 30 titles up in Germany, why don't you? And it brings the information to your fingertips without creating a laborious reconciliation, which I hate.